Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Mario Ritter and Susan Shand. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly will bring us America's Presidents. But first, thousands of homeless people in the Indian capital are among the hardest hit victims of the city's air pollution, which becomes worse in winter. Living on the streets, homeless individuals cannot escape from pollution, such as dust from building projects and automobile emissions. The pollution released by cars has been shown to cause respiratory disorders. Karan Gandhi lives on the streets of New Delhi. He says, "I used to sleep on one sheet of cloth, but I have to use it to cover myself now. When I wake up, I have a problem in breathing." Years ago, winter was a season of cool, clear winds in the Indian capital. People enjoyed going for walks or eating in the open air under a blue sky. Today, dirty smog and falling temperatures have forced some Indians to seek out homeless shelters operated by the city government. Milan Adhikari has no place to live. He says the air quality can be really bad. "I get breathless, then I have pain. I cannot walk properly. That is the reason I don't go to work," he says. Arjun Kumar, also homeless, told VOA, "The doctors tell me my lungs have been damaged. That is why I have breathing problems." Even with the smog and the colder air, many individuals shun the shelters, finding insects in the bedding. In the shelters, the blankets sometimes have bugs, tiny white bugs, and so they prefer to sleep outside to escape being bitten by them, said Itiza Qureshi of Marham, an aid group. He added that the shelters can get crowded, pushing people outside into the open air. This is the second consecutive year that pollution levels in New Delhi have risen to 30 times the safe amount set by the World Health Organization. Doctors tell people not to walk outside when the air quality is bad. But for many of the homeless, staying inside can be difficult.
Japanese officials are trying to decide what to do with thousands of tons of radioactive water from the damaged Fukushima nuclear power plant. More than 6 years have passed since a powerful earthquake and tsunami severely damaged the power plant. Some parts of cleanup efforts have gone well. People can now work in the area, although they take special measures to avoid overexposure to radioactive substances. The water remains a big problem, however. Currently, the water is being stored in 900 large tanks near the nuclear center. Conflicting opinions between two groups have kept Japanese officials from doing anything about the water. Radiation experts advise the government to slowly release the water into the Pacific Ocean. They note that special treatment has removed the radioactivity from the water, except for tritium, a radioactive form of hydrogen. The experts say tritium is safe in small amounts. But local fishermen oppose the release of the water into the sea. They say people will not buy fish from waters near Fukushima if the water is released. The fishermen lost their livelihoods for a long time after the disaster. Local fisheries are slowly recovering. Fumio Haga fishes about 50 kilometers from the power plant. He said people would shun Fukushima fish again as soon as the water is released. The disaster was both deadly and had long-lasting environmental and economic effects. An extremely powerful magnitude 9.0 earthquake struck off the coast of Japan on March 11, 2011. The quake caused deadly tsunami waves on the country's northeastern coast. More than 18,000 people were killed. The earthquake and waves caused the electricity to go out in many places, including Fukushima. As a result, the cooling system failed in 3 of the 6 nuclear reactors, which caused the nuclear fuel to overheat and partly melt structures in the power plant. Radiation entered the air and contaminated water flowed into the sea. That event hurt the livelihoods of people throughout the area. Although there are about 1,000 fishermen in the area today, only half still fish, and they go out only 2 times a week because demand is low. To be sold, the fish have to meet what might be the world's most demanding requirements. Laboratory workers at Onahama test the fishermen's catch, recording who caught the fish and where. And fish from the area is sold with official safe stickers. 15 months after the disaster, in 2012, only 3 kinds of fish could pass the safety inspection. Now the number has increased to over 100. Yoshiharu Nemoto is a researcher at the Onahama test station. He said the fish may contain less than half of the radioactive cesium level permitted under Japan's national standard, and 1/12 of the U.S. or European Union limit. But consumers have not heard that message. Over the years, fewer Japanese consumers avoid fish products from waters near Fukushima. But a study by Japan's consumer agency in October found that 20% still do. The study found that consumers were more likely to pay attention to information about possible bad health results than to facts about radiation and safety standards. Naoya Sakiya is an expert on social research and social psychology. He said the water from the nuclear power center should not be released until the public is well informed about the facts. A release only based on scientific safety without addressing the public's concerns cannot be tolerated in a democratic society, he said. He said a release when the public is not prepared would only make things worse. Kikuko Tatsumi is a representative of a consumer group and serves on a government expert panel with Sekiya. The group has been trying to decide what to do with the water for longer than 1 year. Tatsumi said the delay in making a decision may be increasing concerns among the public. Many people believe the water is stored because it is dangerous, and they think Fukushima fish are not available because they are not safe to eat. The Associated Press reports the amount of radioactive water at Fukushima is growing by 150 tons a day. This is because new water is used to cool the damaged reactors, and groundwater also enters the reactor area through cracks. The water is a costly problem for the utility company Tokyo Electric Power Company, or TEPCO, which owns the nuclear center. Last year, another group of government experts recommended that TEPCO should dilute the water by about 50 times and release it into the sea over time. The process could take 10 years to complete. The new chairman at TEPCO, Takashi Kawamura, caused a strong reaction in the fishing community in April. He had expressed support for releasing the water. But after strong opposition, the company withdrew the idea and said it had no plans for an immediate release and could continue storing water until 2020. So, the problem continues, and the amount of radioactive water at Fukushima is growing. I'm Mario Ritter.
Frances Chanel has no immediate plans for online sales of its handbags or specialty clothing for women, a company official says. Chanel is one of the last businesses in the fashion industry to turn to the internet for selling products. Many of its competitors are experimenting with websites to find buyers. Chanel already uses its website to sell eyeglasses and beauty products, as well as perfumes such as Chanel No. 5. But the company has no plans to use the site to sell tweed suits for women or quilted leather handbags, with each costing more than $4,300. The president of fashion at Chanel, Bruno Pavlovsky, spoke about online sales at a conference last month in Paris. "If you give everything to everyone straight away, I think you lose that exclusivity," he said. "I'm not saying we won't try it one day, but if we do, it will be because we'll really think there's some added value." At first, manufacturers of high-priced goods were slow to develop websites. Many worried that making their products too widely available would hurt demand. But many businesses are now active in online sales. LVMH, parent company to Louis Vuitton, is working with a former official from Apple, the American technology company. The French company recently launched a site for several fashion brands. Website sales will make up some 10% of all money collected in the luxury goods market this year, according to Bain and Company. The company said it expects those businesses to earn 25% of their revenue through web sales. But Chanel's limited online sales is not hurting the business, Pavlovsky noted. He said the company was reaching a growing number of younger buyers and had waiting lists for best-selling bags. The company was started by Gabrielle Coco Chanel in 1910. Two secretive billionaires, Alain and Gerard Wertheimer, now control the business. The Reuters news agency noted that Chanel does not often release financial results. Reports registered with the Amsterdam Exchange show Chanel's net profit fell nearly 35% in 2016. Sales dropped 9% to $5.7 billion. Most major competitors have enjoyed an increase in sales in 2017. Chanel is no stranger to digital marketing. The company has used media like Instagram and Twitter to share images from its famous catwalk shows and collections by designer Karl Lagerfeld. But buyers want to try on the clothes, Pavlovsky said. He added that the business would look into providing e-services for buyers to reserve items or make store appointments online. Every time I'm in China, I meet clients who come and say, whatever you do, don't do e-commerce. The day you do it, for us, this won't be exclusive anymore, Pavlovsky said. I'm Susan Shand.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about Ronald Reagan. He was president for two terms and served from 1981 to 1989. Before that, he was the governor of California, worked as an actor, and led a labor union. As president, Reagan is credited for changing the direction of the country. He tried to establish a feeling of confidence in the American people. Although not everyone profited equally from his policies, the president rarely suffered in public opinion polls. Reagan was called the Great Communicator because he was able to connect with many Americans and to speak persuasively about conservative values. He is remembered warmly by many Republican Party politicians and voters especially. Ronald Reagan is often linked to California and the American West, but he was born and raised in Illinois, in the center of the United States. His father sold shoes, and his mother mostly took care of Ronald and his older brother, Neil. The entire family supported the Democratic Party, especially President Franklin Roosevelt. While the boys were growing up, the Reagans did not have much money, and the father suffered from alcoholism. But Ronald was energetic and took part in many activities. He played football and basketball, ran on the track team, swam, acted in plays, led student groups, wrote for school newspapers and yearbooks, and worked several jobs to help pay for his education and support his parents. He attended Eureka College in Illinois and completed his studies in 1932. One of his first jobs out of college was as a sports announcer for a radio station. He had an appealing voice and a natural way of talking that was a good fit for radio. Reagan was also good-looking and a dependable worker. In time, he was offered a chance to act in movies and moved to California. During his acting career, Reagan made more than 50 films. He also married actress Jane Wyman and had two children with her. But after several years, the relationship ended. Their marriage ended in divorce. 4 years later, Reagan married another actress. Her name was Anne Robbins, but she was called Nancy Davis. They also had two children. As he was starting his second family, Reagan began another part of his career. He served as host of a popular television series about the American West. He also became president of a labor union, the Screen Actors Guild. It represented actors, announcers, and others working in the film and television industry. During that time, Reagan's political beliefs changed. He increasingly supported conservative ideas. During public appearances, he often spoke in support of business interests. He also expressed concern that the federal government was limiting Americans' freedom. The message was well received by many Americans. Although the Democratic Party was in power for most of the 1960s, a number of Americans were becoming increasingly conservative. Reagan won national recognition in 1966 when he successfully ran for governor of California as a Republican. In 1970, voters re-elected him to the position. But Reagan had set his sights on the presidency. He sought the Republican nomination in both 1968 and 1976. Finally, in 1980, he won the office. By that time, he had already had several careers, as well as a long life. At age 69, he was the oldest person until then to be elected president. When Reagan took office, he made improving the U.S. economy his highest concern. One way to do that, he believed, was to reduce the influence of the federal government. He wanted especially to cut some of the government programs that former President Lyndon Johnson had put in place to help poor people. Reagan believed that cutting taxes, especially on big businesses, would help strengthen the economy and in time help everyone. In a speech after taking office, Reagan noted that government is not the solution to our problem, government is the problem. At first, the economy continued to struggle, but in a few years, Reagan's policies appeared to work. Unemployment dropped, the stock market rose, and many industries grew quickly. Americans often remember Reagan's presidency as a time of economic growth. Not everyone benefited equally, however. Reagan's critics observed that his policies largely helped people who were already wealthy. The divide between rich and middle-class Americans increased during Reagan's presidency. And Reagan did not reduce government spending in all areas. In fact, he sharply increased military spending. One result was a large national debt. Another result, Reagan supporters say, was a quicker end to the Cold War. One of Reagan's major foreign policy goals was to end the standoff with the Soviet Union. He believed that building up the U.S. military was the best way to pressure the Soviets to reach an agreement on arms control. Reagan also spoke out strongly against communism. In his second term, he famously appealed to the new Soviet leader, Mikhail Gorbachev, to tear down the Berlin Wall. For some, the wall was a sign of communism. Many historians say Reagan's policies worked. For sure, Reagan and Gorbachev improved relations between their countries. And in time, the Soviet leadership permitted the Berlin Wall to come down. In addition to the economy and the Cold War, Reagan is often remembered for his likable personality. He spoke easily with the public, often had a positive message about the country, and usually appeared cheerful. He won even more public approval after a man with mental problems tried to kill him. The bullets seriously injured several people nearby and just missed Reagan's heart. Yet, shortly after he was shot, the president joked with his wife and with his doctors. Opinion polls showed that the recovered president was more popular than ever. Reagan's political image also survived a scandal known as Iran-Contra. In brief, Congress found that a number of government officials secretly sold U.S. weapons to Iran as part of a deal to free hostages. Then, the officials used some of the money to help rebels in Nicaragua. The actions violated congressional rules. They also challenged Reagan's promise that he had not traded weapons for hostages. The president apologized for any part he had played in the events. Polls showed that, in general, the American public accepted his apology and continued to trust him. Unlike most U.S. presidents who lose public support during their terms, Reagan finished his time in office as he had taken it, with the support of more than half of Americans. Reagan retired to his home in California with his wife, Nancy. For several years, he wrote about his life and helped organize his presidential library. But in a few years, the former president announced that he suffered from Alzheimer's. The disease affects people's ability to think, remember, and express themselves. Soon, Reagan disappeared from public life. He died in 2004. But he is well remembered as an able politician who could work effectively with many people. He is also remembered, by both supporters and critics, for being a powerful voice for conservative ideas and traditional values. His influence extended beyond his two terms. Later generations of leaders and voters called themselves Reagan Republicans. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.